B-Pod Studios.
And Carson Wentz and Donovan McNabb. Yeah, I think we do want a little homerism there. But we also don't want a guy that we have known so long in this city to be sensitive, like Donovan, to look, it makes it look like I don't want this guy to be better than me.
Yeah, and everybody's going to read it that way for the rest of Donovan's career. And it comes from past things that he said about Carson Wentz. It comes from his past history of being that I, me guy. Did you say he was a nerd earlier? Or how did you?
I believe I went dork.
You went dork.
I think dork is more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I think we've labeled him nerd, dork before, and he just keeps kind of like proving us true.
Yeah, a bit of a tryhard, if you will.
Yeah, and Jamie has a great point. What he said isn't all that far out of the realm of possibility. It's not incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's him saying it, like you said.
Oh, absolutely. I got to tell people they're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. And the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And coming up, we'll tell you how you can win $1,000. Because you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios. Only from Comcast.
It's springtime in Philly, and we've got the green.
Win $1,000, or maybe $10,000. This is 97.5 The Fanatic's 5K a day big green giveaway.
This hour's keyword is much. Much. As in too much food for maybe Joel Embiid. Much. Enter the keyword much on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting much to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 975thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword much on the Fanatic app at 975thefanatic.com or by texting much to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Powered by Farron Electric. Electric issues in your home, trust Farron Electric to keep you safe. Visit FarronElectric.com. Good luck. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds, even during peak hours. When everyone's online, learn more at Xfinity.com. We have from The Athletic, Mr. Jason Stark. Jason, good morning, my friend.
Morning, boys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. We're licking some wounds after losing the first road series of the season for the Phillies, dropping 3 out of 4 to the Rockies. And the good news, I guess, coming out of this series would be that Aaron Nola didn't certainly have a great start, but finished his start rather well. 5 2/3, striking out 9 against the Rockies, and looking okay as the game went on. What were your thoughts on Aaron Nola?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that this was a game where he gave up 9 hits and 5 2/3, and we're looking at that as a good night.
Yeah, right.
So that tells you that the bar has been lowered a little bit, but it was encouraging in a lot of ways. You know, he found his changeup for one thing, and he hadn't really had a good feel for that pitch at all the whole season. I thought that was probably the best sign of the night. He's really struggled to finish his curveball. You know, last year he gave up 3 home runs on that pitch the whole season. 2 already this year. Last year, 155 batting average against that pitch. This year, over 300. So he's still struggling to find that. And then just lack of command in general is still an issue. But Aaron Nola does compete. And he did show some signs that he can still find a way in that game. So they need him. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Now, the other part of this is Jake Arrieta. A lot of people, myself included, we had talked about on the show, you know, needing to have that bounce back year, whatever you want to call it. So far, 3 starts in a row. He's gone at least 7 innings. He's looking to continue that tonight against the Mets. Jake Arrieta might be having that bounce back year, Jason.
You know, I had a chance to talk to Jake a few days ago, and he is really excited about the way he is throwing the ball, and I don't blame him. He has thrown the ball harder, for one thing, than we saw pretty much at any point last year. That start the other day, he was hitting 94 on the gun. That's a sign of a guy who has got a good delivery, good release point, good feel for what he's doing. 3 straight starts where where he's gotten through seven innings. Never did that at any point last year. He's returned to that violent movement on the sinker and that slider cutter thing. And the changeup has been a huge pitch for him. It's a pitch he's used twice as much this year as last year. It's become a big out pitch. It's become a big swing and miss pitch. He's been their best pitcher. There's no doubt.
Jason, do you know anything about the severity of Segura and Kingery with their hamstrings?
Segura, they did not seem real concerned about. I think if Kingery's had not been of the severity that it appeared to be initially, Segura would not have gone on the DL. That's what they indicated, or the IL. Sorry.
IL, yes.
That's what they indicated, because they just needed to make sure that when he came back, he was good to go. Kingery looks like it's going to be a little bit longer issue. I don't know if you guys have ever pulled a hamstring, but those things can linger all year long. It's incredible that you look up 3 weeks into the season and Phil Gosselin's a starting shortstop. But that's where they are. He'd only started 38 games at shortstop in his whole career before he got to Philly, but he can get you through a week. He's a professional player.
Yeah, Westchester's own Phil Gosselin helping you out here.
What an awesome story.
Yeah, there you go. We got a story to write here. It's a good one. I got to ask you this, Jason, because I know you're a man for all seasons here, and I know you've covered sports in Philly, and you've done it for a long time and all that. You're doing great stuff with The Athletic, but I'm trying to make sense of this Donovan McNabb story. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but I'm trying to think, and we brought up, Bob Cooney here brought up Mike Schmidt when answering this question. But can you think of an athlete and a fan base that had a greater disconnect between, like, Donovan McNabb and the city of Philadelphia? No matter what happened here with the five conference championship games that he played in, the one Super Bowl, the franchise leader in pretty much every major quarterback statistical category, but there seems to be some kind of disconnect between him and the city. Is there anything that compares to that in your memory?
You know, the Mike Schmidt analogy is really interesting, because there was a lot of love-hate that went on with Mike Schmidt for a long time here, as Bob remembers well. And I don't know that it ever got to this. The difference is the Phillies did win. Mike Schmidt had a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
And, despite some of the stuff that he said and did, there was finally a point somewhere along the line where people looked up and said, well, wait a second, that guy's been a Philly all these years? Yeah, let's cheer for that. Jimmy Rollins could exasperate the fan base. Not like that. I can't think of a player of Donovan's prominence that had anything near this. I don't think there's another analogy that I would draw. Donovan's kind of in a class by himself.
Yeah, it's almost unfortunate, because, I mean, the guy did have, prior to the recent years, the most successful tenure in the Super Bowl era of the Eagles. It goes without saying. Now, the other part, I do want to get back to baseball with you, because, look, I walked in here and pulled my hamstring. Like, that's like, it's almost contagious, it feels like, with the Phillies there, Jason. So I'm looking at it, and I'm going, wow, Kingery, Segura, Andrew McCutchen almost missed time with a hamstring, but he came back. So what are the Phillies doing? What do they need to do? Or better stretching? Better calisthenics? What can a team do to prevent injuries like this?
You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't tend to play a doctor on the radio. I believe McCutchen was a knee, by the way. But you're right. They have had, I think it was Odubel was the third hamstring. I don't know. When stuff like that happens, I would look inside it. I'd try to figure it out. You know, while they're busy trying to figure out why Cesar Hernandez ran off second base, they can look into that, too. I know Gabe Kapler said yesterday he didn't think that they'd done anything different, but a rough week.
Yeah, a little bit. The other part of this that we got to talk about, it wasn't a hamstring, it wasn't an injury. And I don't know if the new IL list in baseball will be able to categorize this one, but I believe the injury with Cesar Hernandez would be a brain fart for what happened at second base.
That can't happen. You know, he assumed he was out, Mark. Mm. That's never a good thing to assume.
Nah.
It's his responsibility to stay on the base until he knows he's out. I'm not aware of any pace of game rule that says he has to run to the dugout as fast as he can if he thinks he's out. But I also want to mention the Joe West factor there. Joe West was a second base umpire.
Mm-hmm.
I love Joe, but he can definitely look bored out there. In the movies, the umpires all yell, "Safe!" when they make a call like that. It's all joke and mustard to raise his arms and just signal safe. That was at least a factor in that play.
Uh-huh.
Just one more reason to join the Joe West fan club.
Wait, there are members there? There are members in that fan club?
They're all country music fans.
Okay, good point. Yeah. Good point.
The ball was right in front of him, though, Jace. I mean, do you think that he assumed they were going to call him out because the guy was trying to grab the ball out of his glove, or did he not see the ball?
That was my assumption. He should have been able to see the ball, but
it's right in front of him.
There's no way he could have seen Joe West, because Joe was to his back.
Mm.
And that was the big mistake there. And that, whatever he thought, you can't assume it. That was a really critical point in that game. That was a winnable game until that moment.
Jason, anything before we let you go, anything so far the Phillies season? Right now they're one game in first place. They have the Mets obviously coming in for the three-game series. Anything surprise you so far with this Phillies season? Anything that's been a bit taken back by?
I could list a bunch of things. I just wanted to make the point. I think they've reached the point where the grind of the season has started to show up. In the last 8 days, they played 14 innings, played 11 innings, played 12 innings, had a bunch of injuries, roster moves, in the middle of 17 games in 17 days. And, I think their depth is better than the Mets' depth or the Nationals' depth, but this is where it gets tested. You look at that game yesterday. That's a game where Jared Eichhoff pretty much had to stay in that game and go out for the sixth. He hadn't gone out for the sixth inning of any start since August of 2017, but that's just because they'd ripped through so many pitchers over the last week. They just couldn't play the bullpen game again. And, sometimes over the course of the season, little things like that show up, and you almost have to lose a game to win the war. And that's kind of where they are right now. It's a tough stretch.
All right, Jason Stark, we appreciate you coming on with us. Jason Stark from The Athletic. We'll catch up with you again on Monday, hopefully after a slew of Phillies wins.
Sounds good, man.
Take it easy. Jason Stark, ladies and gentlemen, from The Athletic, brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with a boring soda when you can hit a grand slam with Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks? Available at your neighborhood store, Everfresh, nature's refreshments. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in this next segment, Bob Cooney. Now, when was that Sixers game?
It was on Saturday.
Way back when on Saturday.
Yeah.
We're going to relive the moments of that game with the highlights, as brought to you by Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll let you hear those highlights and the two melees that ensued. Because guess what? There was one that was the most notable. There was another one prior to that that I think even led to the second one in this game. 610-632-0975. But right now, you've heard me talking about it. My wife and I, we just bought our first house. We're extremely excited. I've lived in an apartment for 10 years, right? Now I get to have my own house. I get to work on that house. I love to work with my hands. I'd love to do my impression of a man who's handy around the home. That's what I call it. It's not that good impression. I'd say Joel Embiid is my best one, and then the handyman impression, not so good. But anyway, you know who's going to help me? I don't even need to be that good, because Holland's True Value is going to help me be better. And they're going to walk me through everything. They'll even be able to deliver whatever I need to the house, because Holland's has it. Whatever you need for the house, Holland's has it. A lot of people head to the big box stores because they want to make one stop and buy everything on their list. Well, let me tell you, Hollins is the one-stop shop you literally need for anything in that home, inside or outside the home, for the yard, for the garden, the backyard, anything. Hollins True Value has everything I need to make my new yard an extension of my living space. They got big plants, small plants, perennials, annuals. Hollins has it. Planters, mulch, topsoil, sand, Hollins has it. And again, they deliver. How about this? Gas grills, charcoal grills, smokers, yard games, fire pits, equipment rentals. Now, but you're going to be working on the house. You're going to need some tools. Hand tools, power tools, garden tools. Hollins has it. And they're experts. Have walked me through everything. They've talked me through everything. It's a family-run business. They know how to deal with people. They've been doing it for years. Make sure you trust Hollins True Value. Hollins has it. Literally everything you need at competitive prices, all under one roof. If you need it, Hollins has it. Visit Hollins True Value in Garden Center, located at 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. That's 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. And tell them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mark Farzetta sent you. Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey off. He'll be back Friday after the first round of the NFL draft. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson on vacation.
And I'm smelling a trend here. Everybody going down south on us.
Now, I was going to take off Thursday and Friday this week, but then I realized it was the draft. I thought it was going to be the very last weekend, whatever. Now the... Everybody at attention. That's what that little jingle jangle means right there. But yeah, I thought it was going to be, I knew when the draft was. I didn't know when my vacation was. Because my wife was like, oh yeah, the end of April. I didn't think last week in April, that the end of April. Well, whatever. But so anyway, I'll be here. And then I'm driving down to Syria, Virginia, to play.
Never heard of Syria.
Oh, Syria, Virginia, gorgeous.
Until you brought it up the last
good
couple
old
of
Syria
times, yeah,
Virginia.
How long did it take you to drive there?
It did 4.5 hours.
Then you're gonna do some fishing. You'll be out on the water.
I'll be out on the water. I'll be fishing.
Uh huh.
Don't forget your bug spray.
You know, I thought about that. I got to buy some bug spray.
Yeah, you do.
I got a fishing pole. I got a Swiss Army knife. I'm ready for the outdoors. That's all I need. All I need is some camo. Actually, I was going to do something.
Bring an axe or a hatchet with you.
I was actually thinking
and
about...
And rope. They always come in handy.
What am I, hiding a body?
I know. What are you talking about? On a camping trip?
And lighter fluid.
No, I'm telling you, a hatchet and some rope always comes in handy.
Here's my problem. I'm not exactly going camping. I'm going...
Glamping.
Which is a term that I hate. Because I'm either camping or I ain't.
Is your tent air conditioned?
No, there's no tent. They're in a cabin, I'm sure.
No. I'm in a yurt.
What? Is that a dirt hut?
I'm in a yurt. It's my wife and I, a couple other couples. We were going to invite you, Jamie. I did, kind of. And then I was like, oh, you're having the baby.
I could be running out the door at any minute.
You jerk. You could be running out the yurt in this case. So we're going to stay in a yurt.
But wait, what is a yurt?
A yurt is like what Genghis Khan stayed in.
Okay.
Yeah, except I won't. You know, it'd be me and my wife and, you know, some other couples, and there'll be in other yurts.
All in the same yurts?
No, multiple yurts.
Okay.
Multiple yurts. One pond I'll be fishing in.
What kind of fish?
Nice stream. Well, it's a pond, so I assume some catfish, some bass, right? Maybe a trout or two. And then also there's a little river that goes on there, right?
Yeah.
And then like you do fly fishing. You could build your own rod. Which I won't be doing. Don't you worry.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I'm not going to do that. I'm on vacation for like 48 hours, so I'll try to enjoy that. But Trey's away. He's in Florida right now playing golf, having himself some good times. But we'll hear from him later in the week and get his take on this whole Donovan McNabb fiasco. But we were going to get back into the 76ers here. So let's do that, as I was teasing it earlier, because there is a situation right now. What is going on in Brooklyn right now, and now back in Philadelphia for Game 5 coming up shortly. But a lot of the things that are going on right now are revolving around Joel Embiid. And that's whether or not he's healthy enough to play and whether or not he'll be able to play in game five, whether or not he'll be able to close this series out, and how healthy he'll be for the rest of his career, because now more conversations coming out about the man's weight. But more importantly and more immediately, the situation that arose with Jared Dudley in this game. Now, we'll let you hear in a couple of minutes the full highlights of the game, but I don't want anybody in this game taking shots at our big man, because the last thing he needs is any more injury worry, any more injury woes. He's got his own stuff without anybody trying to shove him around to worry about. So when Jared Dudley runs about 10 steps to try to shove Joel, it gets your ire up a little bit. It upsets you.
A little bit.
As it should. And it upset Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler was upset enough to go and get involved himself, as was Ben Simmons, to try to take care of this situation before it got to Joel Embiid. But I'll say this. After Jimmy Butler was thrown out of the game with Jared Dudley in a horribly called game, you have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons emerge as guys that helped you close this out. You got two huge threes. One was set up by Ben Simmons to J.J. Redick. The other was set up by Joel Embiid to Mike Scott. And those two plays helped close out the game. Also, the way Ben Simmons was able to play in the third and fourth quarter of this game helped seal the deal for the Sixers as well. There were so many good things to take away from this game, but what you do have to be concerned about now is a team that has been desperate since game two, really. Desperate since game two. You got to worry, you got to have a little concern about how they're going to be able to play the rest of the series, albeit for one more game. That's when you have a team that has their back up against the wall like they were after game two, that's where I start to have some concern and some worry about how they're going to try to play a team that is clearly, like the Sixers, better than the Nets. I worry about the cheap shots. I worry about a guy like Jared Dudley throwing another elbow, putting another shove in there, and trying to either goat Joel Embiid into another technical or flagrant foul, and also the actual injury that could take place after a guy like that gets pushed.
I wonder if they've exhausted all types of ways to try to get themselves back in this series. Like, Jared Dudley, it's funny, I didn't know this. Jared Dudley's been thrown out of six postseason games now. Three times last year he got ejected, I saw one stat say.
Jeez.
So, obviously, this is a guy that looks for those type of things. Saturday was a clear indication when he goes running after Embiid, he's just trying to jack up his team.
Uh-huh.
I don't think, you know, Jared Dudley, first of all, you run after him and you give him the weak-ass push that he gave him.
Sure.
If you're really ticked off, the emotions don't come and go that quickly. You're either really mad that you ran that distance to go get him or you're not. So, I just think they've exhausted everything they've tried to do, from the pushing, from the talk, to the crying. Everything's been exhausted by Brooklyn. I don't think they have a shot in this game five.
No, I don't, but look, it's not even about this series anymore. It's about the
moving forward
ripple effect of what this series could do. Because, again, it comes down to the flagrants. It comes down to a possible injury and whatever could happen with Joel Embiid, or, God forbid, something else with Ben Simmons or Jimmy Butler going forward, because there's no doubt, and I stand my ground. As great as the Sixers have played throughout this series, in game two, three, and four, really, that I still have my concern, as I think most people do, about the second round of the playoffs when they face the Toronto Raptors. As good as they're playing now hasn't given me any more confidence about the Raptors. They're still the same two teams. Absolutely not, Bob.
Really?
I told you I would not jump on that bandwagon, and I'm not jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I see.
I'll hope I'm wrong. I'll be rooting for the Sixers, obviously.
Yeah.
But it hasn't affected me one way or the other.
I haven't really thought about Toronto at all because, you know, I know you guys think it's nerdy, but I do stay, like, within the series. Like, we got on this morning, Jamie's like, it's time for the second round. And I'm like, no, it's not. You still
nerd,
come on.
Coward.
Nerd. But anyway, I can
dork.
Take that. Dork. But I do feel a lot more confident about this Sixers team than I did before the playoffs started, because you know all the questions that I had, the concerns that I had, and most of it was defensively. And Brett Brown has shown an ability to adapt defensively. I think they're playing better defense now. I think they're getting used to each other. When Joel Embiid's in the lineup, you see the things that they can do. When he's out of the lineup, my God, it's unbelievable how they just keep going and rolling it the way that they did. I'm a lot more confident in this Sixers team after four games in the playoffs than I was going in. And how it relates to Toronto, well, that has to be a good thing.
I think Saturday was a huge one for them as a team. Not only do you have a star sticking up for a star, but you won a game you probably shouldn't have. It was, to me, from an outsider, it looked like a unifying game for them. And
sure.
It gave me as a fan more confidence heading into a Toronto series.
You outscored Brooklyn 61-42 in the two fourth quarter combined in the last two games. One was that without Joel Embiid, and one was without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty impressive.
Forward, ladies and gentlemen, steps forward. And I'll say this, you mentioned the three-pointers and all that stuff. Joe Harris.
He stinks.
Donde está Joe Harris, bro? All right, 0-for-6, 47.4% from three-point land throughout the regular season, 0-for-6 with that defensive stalwart that is J.J. Redick.
That's been the biggest.
Don't you laugh, Bob Cooley.
That's been the biggest downer in this series for the Nets. You didn't go in here saying, oh, you got to stop Joe Harris. But that's kind of the link to everything else. Yes, D'Angelo Russell's going to go off. Spencer Dinwiddie, LeVert, they're going to get theirs. If they throw in just a mixture of Joe Harris, that changes things up dramatically. He missed a couple. He missed one wide open three late in the game on Saturday.
Yes, he did.
He's like that, you know, when you don't have J.J. Redick hitting shots, you feel it more than you do when he is.
J.J. Redick, 5-time Defensive Player of the Year, I believe, in the NBA.
I believe it's
7 times. Eight times. I'm sorry, 8-time Defensive Player of the Year. But yeah, you know what? J.J.'s in his head. Even when Joe Harris is wide open, he's, where's J.J.? 0-for-6 in this game.
Yeah, JJ outside of one travel is great either.
don't you get in my momentum? JJ helping Joe Harris build bricks. How about that? How build houses with those bricks? Scusi. But anyway, as I promised, bottom of the hour here, we play the 76ers highlights as called by Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic for Game 4. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Tom McGinnis.
Here's Embiid to the left of the lane. 1-on-1 with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. They start the double into the corner. Jimmy Butler, three ball, bang, it's good. Good fight, nice play by Joel. Simmons with the ball, bent on the attack. Into the lane on Hollis-Jefferson, spins in the rim, lays it up and in. Ben Simmons shoots and scores, and the Sixers have tied it at 38. Here's Tobias into the lane, back out to the near side. Scott for three, got it. Mike Scott on target. Nice feed by Harris, and it's a one-point game. Simmons on a drive, Simmons goes right at Jared Allen and gets a layup. And oh man, Dudley knocking at Ben Simmons. And he throws the ball away, and now the bee chirping at Dudley. Oh, man, somebody's a villain in this scenario. Simmons with the ball to Tobias, and now the bee going right at Jared Allen. Puts it up, rimming good. The bee is fired up into the lane. LeVert blocked by a bee with a foul, and down goes Jared Allen. Oh, man, here comes Dudley, and Jimmy Butler shoves Jared Dudley. It's Dudley being knocked out of bounds by Simmons. We got a scrum here in Brooklyn. Joel Embiid and Jared Dudley join to one another. Jared Dudley, though, stirring the pot here in the burrow. And Embiid with a jam. Hollis-Jefferson tried to front him. Ben Simmons throws it over the top, and nobody there. Run that play again. Embiid with his twisty, turning move is good. 8 straight by Embiid. The Sixers have retaken the lead. Ben Simmons going right at Jared Allen. Shoots in the lane with the right hand. Too hard. No good. Got his own rebound. Out to Redick for the lead. It's good. J.J. Redick hit a three, and the Sixers have taken the lead. Tobias Harris. Harris pulls up, lobs it into Joel. Embiid dropped it to the corner, Mike Scott for the lead. It's up and good. Mike Scott plays in the corner three, and the Sixers go up by two. D'Angelo Russell outside right, left hand dribbles to the line. He goes into the lane to Jared Allen. He dropped it, and now Jared Allen is swarmed, and the Sixers, Ben Simmons steals the ball. 5 seconds to go. Brooklyn turns it over. Ben Simmons rips it away. Dinwiddie from midcourt now steps in with a three, and it's no good, and the Sixers have come from behind to win game 4. They win by 4, 112-108.
Bottom line, Sixers up 3-1. Gonna close it out tomorrow night, and all will be right with the world. Pete in Princeton wants to talk about the 10-9-8-76ers. What's up, Pete?
What's up? How are you?
Good, man.
Good. I got to be honest with you. My take on that whole incident with Embiid and stuff was how we reacted, or how we didn't react, or how we didn't overreact. But I got to tell you, what the Nets did was blueprint for what you have to do.
Sure.
You know, how many times have we seen, you know, the Flyers down 2-0 and, oh, we need a fight here, and they send out the bruisers and they do their thing, and it's trying to get the crowd up and whatever it was. They were desperate. It didn't work. I think we close it out on Thursday or tomorrow, and we're good from there. I think how we reacted showed how mature we are as a team, Mark.
No, I agree with you. And here's the other part of this. This wasn't the first time the 76ers had an instance like this with this core group in the playoffs. Remember last year, Dwayne Wade tried to break the arm of Justin Anderson. Little melee ensued, and guess what? Did it work for the Heat? Absolutely not. Is it going to work for the 76ers or for the Brooklyn Nets in this case? Absolutely not. The fact that you can only draw a positive out of this is great because Jimmy Butler was gone, who's been your closer throughout the season since he's been here, and you had a guy like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid help close out this game with big contributions from Mike Scott and J.J. Redick.
And also, Mark, just before you let me go here, you know, sometimes that 16 seed scares the one seed for a half. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, in that game, I think the Nets, and I'm not a Nets fan, of course, but I think the Nets did a great job in waking us up.
It's very possible. Bob, I don't know how much you put into that. And Pete, thanks for the call, man. I don't know how much you put into it, but I don't know about waking up, but definitely showing how much more this team can come together.
Yeah, I think the Brooklyn Nets have made a serious mistake in poking a beast. And, you know, Joel Embiid, whoever it may be, Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons, the Sixers came out in that first game and were lackluster. They were that was a horrible effort on their part. If I'm Brooklyn, I would have just kept my mouth shut and kept playing. But they didn't. They decided to poke a beast, say something to Ben Simmons, watch him get a triple double. I mean, they've done everything wrong to try to boost themselves. All they've done is boost the 76ers.
Was there any doubt in any of your heads that was going to fire the team up? Like once it settled, I went, all right, now kick their ass.
It was so blatant by Jared Dudley, who wasn't involved. Because he wasn't involved in the play at all.
Yeah.
And it was so blatant that he took those, 10 steps to get involved and shove Joel Embiid. It was so unjust that it was like, oh, he going to get it.
Yeah.
Oh, and Ben Simmons going to get it.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, at least with me, I have that feeling of the more they're doubted, prodded, poked, whatever, the better they're going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I just think when they get their back up against the wall, you're going to get the best out of both of them, which is a great testament to both of them.
Certainly. Absolutely. Let's get to, who do we have? We have Damon up here. Damon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Damon?
Hey, what's happening? Good morning, fellas. Happy Monday to you.
You too, bud.
Listen, not only did the team grow up, Embiid and Ben grew up. Let's go back. If you recall, Jamie, Bob, Ben, Dudley pushed Ben early, like before that happened, and Ben just kind of went to the back. He's like, okay, I see what this is all about. And then when that happens, I mean, I'm with Jamie, man. I had the same exact feeling. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get through it. I knew it was going to be a fight, which it was. I know some people are like, oh, we should have blew them out. When you're talking playoff basketball, and particularly when you watch these games these past couple of days, these teams are fighting, man. And even though a lot of teams are down 3-1, these teams are fighting. So now, for me, looking forward to the next series, I'm concerned about two players on Toronto, Siakam and Leonard. And I watched Leonard last night, Bob. Man, that guy's special, man. It's ambidextrous, Chris Webber. I mean, he's just savvy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would let Bolden, I know we're jumping the gun, but I would put Bolden out there for both Siakam and Leonard. I don't know how you feel about that one.
Well, put Bolden out there for Siakam and who?
And Leonard, you're not going to stop Leonard. Let me say that. You're not going to stop him. But at least to disrupt him and slow him down. But Siakam concerns me more than anybody. Because Leonard's going to get it. Siakam's been playing real good basketball.
Yeah, Siakam is a real challenge. And that's I think, you know what you're going to get from a Kawhi Leonard. I think Siakam is the key when that series comes about. Jonah Bolden, I don't know. My trustability in him has gone down through these playoffs and all. I don't know what it is, but I'm not there with you. But I hear you. When certain matchups come into play, you know, a Boban, a Greg Monroe, those guys might not be who you're looking at if you're playing a good team.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So it'll be awesome. But let's close out tomorrow. Real quick, if I can touch on the Donovan situation.
Yeah.
You know, it amazes me how people say, oh, Donovan, go away. We know that's never going to happen. Listen, did it come out at the perfect time because we're talking just recently about, you know, Carson's back? Maybe not. But I'm with Jamie. I kind of agree with him. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say this. In the later rounds, I wouldn't mind looking at a quarterback. I believe in Carson. I want him to I believe he can lead us. I did not forget the position he put us in, because as most people have. But that's concerning. I mean, we need that guy. So you know, I get it. And but it amazed me how people get so upset with Donovan because he didn't get us over. That's
of course. Yeah, if he won here, then forget about it. Then we're all happy. Whatever. But and he could say what he wants. But as of right now, Damon, good talking to you, buddy. Thanks for the call. But as in reality, not as of right now, it's not like Donovan's coming back and winning the Super Bowl. But as the way it is, he just sounds like a guy who's rooting for the demise of the guy in the position that he was in.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Which is never a good look.
And the other part of it is it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, you may agree with it, Jamie, but
yeah,
in 2 years, they're going to have to make a decision on Carson Wentz before then.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, it's not saying that, oh, if they sign him to a $120 million deal, that,
guess what? I'd still draft somebody.
If he didn't have success?
If he has success. That's why I think the comments are like, it's just because of who the messenger is. Oh. I would do what Bill Belichick does. Look at Jacoby Brissett. Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm. You draft somebody into a quarterback-friendly system. You develop them a little bit. You over-sexify them to the league. And you sell them off. So regardless, and Carson has the durability concerns. So you double that together, and it just makes sense. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
If it's not McNabb crying, because that's what we perceive it as, then it's not a big deal.
No. But
it's McNabb crying.
And he said things about Carson Wentz in the past.
Yes.
Go, oh my, Donovan, come on.
Stop it.
We want to like you. We don't want to be jerks to a guy who leads every statistical category for quarterback. Then Super Bowl wins. In Philadelphia history, we want to like you.
He was one of my favorite players growing up. I had a McNabb jersey. Like, I have McNabb bobblehead still in my office. Like, I don't
you have
want
an office.
It.
You have an
well,
office?
A desk, a third floor. It's an Xbox. Like, what else would you call it? I don't know. It's an office-ish.
Office-ish. I like that.
Hold on.
There's a TV and an Xbox, and then a desk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's real. It's not
it's
just
the only portion of the house I have control over.
It's
if
real.
That makes sense.
It's your man cave. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm not calling it that, but sort of.
But you called it your office.
Well, it's more of an office than a man cave.
I'd go man cave before office. Not for nothing over here. By the way, did I tell you
where I do my bills?
Did I tell you I had a conversation with somebody not from our area about what the phrase "not for nothing" meant?
Yeah,
yeah. You started that the other day, but I don't think you finished.
I never thought about it.
Not for nothing. Meaning that what I'm about because means
I was,
nothing.
It was at a bachelor party. I had a few drinks, and I dropped a "not for nothing" in my conversation, and the
which
guy
means nothing, right? The is guy, it a waste of three words?
We'll revisit it in a few. Because we're going to play the highlights for you a little bit later. We're reaching out to some people, and we're going to talk to somebody, hopefully, about this whole Lane Johnson response to Donovan McNabb. We'll talk more Sixers coming up in a few. We'll also let you hear the post-game comments from Jimmy Butler and Brett Brown. Excuse me, Jimmy Butler, Brett Brown, and Joel Embiid coming up in a few. But you know what? You got to love in the world, and you got to love a nice green lawn, and that's why I love Natural Lawn of America, because they use safer, organic-based lawn care products that will reduce the amount of chemicals used on my lawn, and with Natural Lawn, I don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. They actually do keep the grass greener, and bonus, keep those ugly, pesky weeds away. They'll take care of it as they've been doing for over 25 years. Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care, so whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you that lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And for a limited time only, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full service program. That's right, $100 off. So if you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE and get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Welcome back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey everybody, Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey on vacay till Friday. And not for nothing, Bob Cooney.
Well, what does that mean?
He's earned it. So the guy was from like Northern California. He was like from Palo Alto. That's Northern California, right?
Sure.
That's like San Francisco-ish?
Yeah, it's north of San Fran.
Yeah, okay.
It's where the 49ers stadium is.
That's right.
There we go.
There it is.
So he go. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Before Candlestick?
No, the new stadium's up near Palo Alto. It's not in Palo Alto, but it's right near it.
That's north of San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. It's like 40 minutes north of the city.
Yeah, it's a good 35 minutes.
I always thought it was south of the city.
Nah, north.
All right.
Up by the Stanford and all those smart kids.
Okay. So the Levi Stadium, we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just making sure. So anyway, I drop a not for nothing in the conversation. I had a couple. And
By the way, every time you've said it, I've never thought about it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a throwaway setup line to what you're about to say. But what is the throwaway setup? Like, when you say not for nothing, what do you say? Like, not for nothing. All right, let me just tell you. Not for nothing.
Like, what I'm about to say makes no difference at all.
Is that how you take it?
It kind of. Yeah.
Because I've always thought it was like all BS aside. What I'm about to say is something you may not want to hear, but it's what you should hear.
Kind of. Yeah, that's not bad either.
That's kind of.
That's a good interpretation.
Because he was asking me, he's like, you've said that two or three times already. He's like, I don't understand the not for nothing. He goes, I've heard it before, rarely, never on the West Coast. But when you say, because he went to school at Georgetown, this guy, so he knows the East Coast, whatever. And he goes, when you say that, what do you mean by not for nothing? And I never really even thought about it because I just grew up hearing it. And I never thought of to break it down. And then I'm like, oh my God.
We'll break it down.
I was like, you know what? We're drunk. Let's have this conversation. And we had a very philosophical conversation about the phrase not for nothing. And I came to the conclusion of, it means whatever I'm about to say is something you might not want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And it's also like, all BS aside, here's the way it is.
I'll buy.
Is what it is. Boom. Here's the fact.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
And I feel like that's a good interpretation of not for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also horrible grammar. Somebody also tweeted me the other day that they used my Uncle George's line with somebody. They used the line, you
ain't fooling me none.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me, I just used Farzetta's, you ain't fooling me none in public. And I was like, and the person looked at me as if I had lobsters crawling out of my ears. And I'm like, yeah, horrible English. And it was spoken by a man whose language was, English was his second language.
Oh.
So I wouldn't go for him for the grammatical, not grammatical. It wouldn't even be grammatical. What would it be, Bob?
Phrase?
Logistical?
Logistical's good.
Linguistical?
I'm looking up where Levi Stadium is. Apparently, it's not even near Palo Alto.
No, I thought it was south. Like
that's near, up in Texas.
It's southeast of Palo Alto.
Yeah, but it's up in that. That's like the tech center. Like right by Levi Stadium is Yahoo headquarters.
Yes,
and like all it's all in that tech valley.
Oh, darn. We're gonna we'll figure
hey, real
it
quick,
out.
Donovan McNabb, fresh tweet off the press.
Oh,
so he had the one at 12:07 last night.
Yes,
and then he just tweets 4 minutes ago. Now, happy Monday, everyone. Smiling emoji. And you know the little kid at the Derek Jeter game with the respect cap where he takes it off and gives a salute.
Yes,
it's that gif.
Really?
So he be trolling.
Jamie.
A little bit.
What the hell, man?
What?
Levi Stadium
is Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Southwest. Southeast. Oh, it's okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, southeast. So it is south of Palo Alto.
Yeah. South of Palo Alto, but north of San Francisco, correct?
No.
East of San Francisco?
So north to south, just for the, if you have a geography test or on your way back to school today, whatever. San Francisco is north. Then Palo Alto is more southern, and then more southern and southeast is Levi Stadium.
That was way off. I thought we were driving north all those times. good times.
When the ocean was on your right, Jamie!
Yeah, but I swore the ocean was on the left when we were driving.
Well,
whatever.
There is the bay, which
is a stupid bay.
And the bay is a large body of
that
water as well, just like the ocean.
Now, you know what I meant. It's all in that general tech area.
I'm glad we can help people out with the geography on the program.
Got to do a better job.
Let's get to Will in West Philly. Will, then we got open lines after that if you want to chime in. 610-632-0975. Will, what's up, bud?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing today?
Great.
With the Sixers, I pretty much had the impression that they were going to win in five. I did not think that they were going to lose game one. I thought it was going to be game two. That was going to be their wake-up call. The only thing that I'm not liking, but that kind of gives me a little pause with this series is what I'm going to call the Bob Cooney effect. Cause a few weeks ago, you guys were talking about, how pitchers react to batters celebrating and stuff and how it can be a negative thing. And some of the reaction that the Sixers have on the, you know, the laughing at the press conference, the, you know, kind of like being nonchalant about, you know, the professional, other professionals in their sport is,
right.
It may negatively. Like, they might pull out, oh, well, we're going to put our 12th man out to foul somebody hard to try to get them out the game or something like that in future series.
Well, see, Jared Dudley, but real quick, Will, Jared Dudley said that after the game. Now, on the TNT broadcast, I saw it after the game. He had said that, whatever, Jared Dudley, I'm not going to pay him any mind. That's what Joel Embiid said. And then after that, Jared Dudley came out and said, yeah, the only thing I'm sorry about is that I didn't foul him harder. Next time I want to foul him harder. And I'm like, so now you're talking about an intent to injure somebody. And he only gets a $25,000 fine? I got to worry about that guy again in game five?
Yeah, and that's the thing. While I don't agree with that attitude anymore, I used to. I ain't gonna lie, I used to. Oh yeah, go ahead and kill a guy. You know, just like back years ago when Chaney did that in one of the Big Five games.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.